The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Tonight on ESPN, top-ranked boxing, undefeated former Olympian Michaela Mayer taking on Helen Joseph in our main event. You'll see top-ranked boxing tonight, 9 Eastern, on ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and on the ESPN app. And for a little eye candy this morning as we await the return of Major League Baseball, how about this catch? This is Riley Green of the Tigers. Take a look at this grab. He's going back, 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 and oh, he makes the catch over the wall. Who on our panel could have made that play? Who do we think?
I think this kid is 17 years old. Dan couldn't have made it because he got no vert. Lou would be the best.
I'm 6'5".
To make this play because he was the most athletic out of all of us.
About 20 years ago, yeah.
I don't know. I would say it is a reasonable statement to point out that of the four of us, I'm the least likely. I will live with that, no question about it. Anyway, we're starting a new hour here on ESPN Get Up. I'm Mike Greenberg. We're in Bristol, Connecticut this morning. We're with you for the next hour, and then MLS action will come your way starting at 9 Eastern today. But we will be jam-packed in this hour with a ton of football with that outstanding crew and many more. It is time to get up with Dak and Dallas. And the really startling news about the state of their talks on this, the day before the deadline. Shafty has it for you right off the top. Plus, I will tell you exactly what Mr. Mahomes is on the verge of doing that even Tom Brady never did before. And we will raise a glass to this superstar who thinks he's disrespected, and guess what? He's absolutely right. All that and more as we get up with you in this hour right here on ESPN. And look at this squad. I mean, I can't possibly go wrong. I've got Lewis Riddick. I've got Marcus Spears. I've got Shefty and Dan Orlovsky ready to go the day before the NFL's deadline for franchise tag players to get a long-term deal done. And, of course, this one is at the center of most of the conversation. Dak Prescott and the Cowboys, they've yet to come to terms. He has signed the club's franchise tender. Patrick Mahomes signs the enormous contract last week, the 10-year extension. Does that mean Dak is the next quarterback to get a deal done? That's the question, and the man with all the answers, as always, Adam Schefter. Shefty, where do the Cowboys and Dak stand as we speak?
Well, Greeny, as Todd Archer, the fine reporter from ESPN in Dallas, reported yesterday, there are no scheduled talks before Wednesday's 4 p.m. Eastern deadline. That doesn't mean there can't be a last-minute push from each side, but there doesn't appear to be any sense of urgency to do that right now. And it seems like each side is comfortable with its position, which is hard to imagine in Dallas's case. If you're the Dallas Cowboys, you're looking at having Dak Prescott play this year on the franchise tag for $31.4 million. Can't sign him if you can't get a long-term deal done by the 4 o'clock Eastern deadline on Wednesday to a long-term deal during the season, which means next season, to keep Dak Prescott, to ensure keeping him, you'd have to franchise him again for $38 million at a time where the cap is going to be flat at best and very well may go down, which could cripple the Cowboys' salary cap. So it puts the Cowboys in a tough, challenging predicament moving forward with their quarterback in the franchise year. Only two other quarterbacks have played on the franchise tag, Drew Brees in San Diego. He left. Kirk Cousins in Washington. He left. Dak Prescott now heading into that franchise year if they can't get that long-term deal done. A lot of questions, not much progress. And so the conversation that we've had for over a year here now is going to continue to go on. And just think what happens. What are we going to talk about this season if these two sides can't get a deal done by the deadline at 4 o'clock Eastern on Wednesday? And we can't talk about this topic until next January or February.
Oh, we'll find a way. But let me bring Lewis Riddick into the conversation here, because here's what I was thinking of as Shefty was saying that. And that is, yes, Todd Archer reporting they haven't spoken and there are no plans to speak. But that can change, right? I mean, it's literally as simple as picking up a phone. So, Lewis, in your experience, if the Cowboys know where Dak basically is and they know what he wants, can a deal be done this quickly? Could they just pick up the phone and get a deal done in 32 hours if they haven't been speaking?
Yeah, I think, you know, it's common knowledge that they have made an offer, and Dak knows what that offer is. Could Dallas move off of their offer and raise it to where Dak would feel comfortable? I'm sure they could, although I don't see that as being very likely. And I don't really see Dak coming down to where Dallas feels as though they would feel comfortable as far as signing into a contract that they think represents fair market value. So I really think what's going to wind up happening is the deadline is going to pass. Dak's going to play on the franchise tag next year. And as Adam alluded to, and this is something that general managers are very worried about, and that, you know, being the 2021 season being a situation where the cap could be flat to down, and with Dak's huge contract, you know, franchise number next year, you know, totaling over a two-year time frame, just under $70 million. Dak is sitting pretty right now heading into next year. He could maximize a lot of cash, and that's exactly what he's trying to do, but he could maximize a lot of cash to himself and have a lot of cash coming his way over the next 2 years if he just sits pat and doesn't do anything. Sign that franchise tag like he did, play this year out, and then really put the ball back in Dallas's court next year in a situation, you know, from a cap perspective, that is not advantageous for them. Dak is in a good position right now. Obviously, the long-term security of a big-time deal is not something that is working in his favor and something that he has in his back pocket right now. But he's taking the Kirk Cousins approach right now, or so it seems. And I don't think anyone can argue with the fact that when you're talking about maximizing cash to the player, nobody's done it better than Kirk Cousins.
That's right.
And Dak is sitting right now going, that doesn't sound like a bad strategy.
Cousins has made the most money of any player in the NFL the last 4 years. Dan Orlovsky, a little later this hour, you're going to do a tape looking at Dak the player. But let me ask you this. Having been a quarterback in the league for a long time and been around some very big-time quarterbacks, does it, if he is playing on the franchise tag, does it any way compromise his ability to be the leader on the team that a quarterback needs to be?
No, not at all, Greeny. I mean, everyone in that locker room knows who's the face of that franchise. And everything that you've heard about Dak Prescott as far as off the field, people rave about his leadership. People rave about his maturity and how focused he is when it comes to his job. And so a lot of guys in the NFL know that contracts are very much so about business. And sometimes it happens quickly and sometimes it takes a little bit of time. But once you show up, it's all about what you do on the field. It is all about what you do on Sundays. And so he will continue to be the leader of that organization and the face of that locker room as long as he's the starting quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys. So it's not his ability to play or to lead or to galvanize. I said this in the first hour. Maybe the Cowboys are just waiting for Dak to prove it to them. Could that be the case? Like, I know there's a lot of variables here, but Shefty has laid out over the last year all the reasons why the Cowboys should have paid Dak Prescott by now. And then again, laying it out 5 minutes ago, how important it is with the cap per next year and the franchise tag. Yet it still hasn't happened. I mean, maybe the Cowboys just don't want to. I mean, there is that reality that maybe they just don't want to pay him a certain amount of money over a certain amount of years because they see him as X when a lot of people see him as something else. And so I get it. I get where a lot of people are want Dak Prescott to be the greatest quarterback in the NFL. Right now, he hasn't been. And until he proves that to the Cowboys, they're not going to give in.
We'll do that tape a little bit later, and you'll be able to demonstrate a little of what you're talking about. Marcus, I saw you shaking your head.
Yeah, it's just Dan has a great point. I'm not disputing that at all. The problem Dallas has is that they came out and said this was their franchise quarterback and he was the future of the franchise. And we all have talked about the pause that they have because of the actual play of Dak Prescott, which is the issue. Because if he's not the guy, you still going to pay him $31 million. You signed Andy Dalton. You could buy time until you find another quarterback. There are so many things that are playing out in this situation. We keep talking about 4 and 5 year deals. I keep going back. You don't have contract disputes this long with your franchise quarterback. So to Dan's point, I think we all have to get to there. Because everybody talked about, well, this is about the Cowboys wanting to be in the media and they want us to talk about it and they'll eventually sign Dak Prescott. Who the hell are they talking to? Because they have Dak Prescott availability every day to get a contract done, to lose point. They've been down this road already. So the only thing that we can conclude is obviously they're okay with paying him $31 million this year, but they are not okay with committing to him long term. You can't talk about his leadership. You actually can't talk about his winning. He's done a lot of winning since he's been there. You actually can't talk about if he's a good quarterback or not. We all agree he's a good quarterback. So all we're left with is that the Cowboys don't believe that Dak Prescott is who Dak Prescott thinks he is to their franchise, and that's why we have an impasse at a contract situation.
Shafty, give us a final thought.
What happens in any long-term contract negotiation that goes on for months and months and months without resolution? I think there are some hard feelings that build up on both sides when neither side gets what it wants. You wonder how that will factor in to any future decisions that each side makes in this particular negotiation. And if you're the Dallas Cowboys and you have to franchise Dak Prescott next year, or you decide not to do that because you can't afford to do that because the cap is down and the franchise number is so high, who is your alternative at quarterback? Are you going to go with Andy Dalton moving forward? Is he the guy in Dallas? That may be the choice at this point in time. They may see enough from Andy Dalton that they say, you know what? We'd rather pay Andy Dalton less than half of what we have to pay Dak Prescott in this particular situation. But they have to be thinking long term, what is the plan if we can't afford to keep Dak Prescott and we don't want to re-sign him?
They've got 32 hours to figure this thing out. Otherwise, as you said, they have to put it on hold until after this coming season. Be fascinating to watch. Again, a tape coming up a little later this hour. Meanwhile, other news. The NFL and the players held a coronavirus-related reopening protocols. Training camps are scheduled to open for most teams in just 2 weeks. And so, Shefty, I come back to you. What came out of these conversations yesterday between the league and the Players Association?
Well, Greeny, they've had talks the last couple of days here. And what's gone on here is there are a couple of different issues that they're dealing with. One is a financial bucket. And they're trying to figure out how to finance this season in a year where their revenues are going to be down. We've already seen teams come out and say, we're going to have at most 25% fans in attendance. That's if there are games. You know, the interesting part here is that owners actually will lose more money by playing games this year than by not playing games because they will have to pay their payroll, they have to pay the players, run the cost of keeping the stadium open, so it will be more expensive to play the games. But they're trying to solve the financial issues, which are very complex, as we've seen in basketball and baseball and hockey, and they're trying to figure out, more important, the health and safety protocols to get these players in to make them feel as safe as they possibly can during a pandemic. There are a whole host of issues that they have to get figured out. And, by the way, the Texans and Chiefs rookies are supposed to be reporting this weekend, and it's hard to imagine that's going to happen. Nobody thinks that's realistic.
Yeah, those are the rookies, and then a week later are all the other rookies. And by the end of this month, training camps are supposed to open. Is there a sense in your mind that that date is in jeopardy?
Absolutely. I think people are skeptical that players are going to be reporting, that they're going to be rushing to report to training camps when there are hot spots around the country. Look at where all the hot spots are right now. California, Texas, Florida, where there are an abundance of NFL teams. You're going to be opening camps at a time where these cases are rising by the day and they are recording record numbers. Again, they're going to try to do it. It's hard to imagine that camp is going to open on time.
All right, we will wait and see. And obviously, Shefty will be all over it for us. Meanwhile, I want to show you something that is a sight for sore eyes. If you're a sports fan, particularly a fan of my favorite sport of golf, Tiger Woods on the range this morning at Memorial, getting set to play his first tournament since the PGA Tour's restart. And how about this group? Thursday and Friday, he's paired with Rory McIlroy and Brooks Koepka for the opening two rounds at Muirfield Village. Should be great fun to watch. And that's pictures from this morning, Tiger Woods getting ready to play. Meanwhile, we're getting ready to continue here on Get Up with Patrick Mahomes, chasing a dynasty in Kansas City. I will tell you exactly why he has a great chance to get it done. That's on the way. And then Lamar Jackson said something yesterday that definitively got our attention. You'll hear what it is and what Swaggoo says in response as we continue Get Up on ESPN. Can the Patrick Mahomes Chiefs become a dynasty? That is the question. And to answer it, you have to first start by defining a dynasty. In pro football, three-peats just don't happen. No team has ever won three straight Super Bowls. The last three-peat belonged to Green Bay in the 60s. Actually, three-peats almost never happen in any of our sports. The last in the NBA was Kobe and Shaq. That ended in 2002. In baseball, it was the Yankees ending in 2000. In hockey, it's the Islanders way back in 1983. All of those are considered dynasties. So that's the ticket. Can Kansas City do it? The easy answer is yes. It all starts with the quarterback. And Patrick Mahomes is already number one all-time in passer rating, QBR, touchdown-to-interception ratio, yards per attempt, and yards per game. And he's 24 years old. The last team to beat him by more than one possession was Iowa State. He's never lost an NFL game by more than 7 points. But wait, with this team, there's much, much more. The Chiefs have drafted 9 Pro Bowlers since Andy Reid got there in 2013. Travis Kelce was a third-round pick. Tyreek Hill, 5th round. Damian Williams led them in rushing last year. He was undrafted. The Chiefs' offense returns 10 of 11 starters from last year when they scored 117 points in 3 playoff games. The defense, which actually allowed the fewest points in the league the last 6 games of last season, also returns 10 of 11, plus the head coach is back and both coordinators. So how could you possibly bet against this team to win 3 in a row? Which I spell with a capital T, which rhymes with D, which stands for dynasty. So that's the question. Can they do it? And the answer is, it certainly feels like they can. Which brings us to yesterday's poll question, which was, of all of these superstars, which has the best chance to catch his rival? Patrick Mahomes, whose stated goal is to catch up to Brady's rings, he's still 5 away. Tiger Woods is 3 away from Jack. LeBron is 3 away from Michael Jordan. As you see, the people who voted on my poll yesterday picked Mahomes. But Marcus Spears and Jalen Rose on this program, as I bring my crew in this morning, told me they actually believe Mahomes is the least likely, not most likely, to catch his rival. So, Louis Riddick, I'm coming to you first here this morning. Of those three, which do you think is the likeliest to make up that ground?
Man, that's a tough one. I'm not going to say it's LeBron. I think Tiger has a shot. You know, I'm going to go with Pat as long as everything kind of stays in line and there isn't any kind of anything catastrophic that happens to this football team in way of injury, either, God forbid, to Pat or any of the other principal players here. Because otherwise, you're right. Look, they have youth on their side. Brett Veach, the general manager, has done a good job of kind of planning going forward for the salary cap to be flat to down maybe in 2021. I mean, obviously, that's why they structured Pat's contract the way it is, because they have some important players coming up that they need to extend and they want to get in the fold, namely right now in the short term, Chris Jones. Look, Andy Reid wants to coach for the foreseeable future. They have a succession plan. If Andy does kind of move on, they have some great coaches on their staff that they could just elevate into the head coaching position. Look, I think Kansas City is set up, and Pat himself, look, I've talked about all the things outside of Pat Mahomes. Pat himself, I don't think you've seen a guy as young as this have this much awareness as to exactly what he wants to be remembered as when his playing days are over. His maturity is far exceeds how old he is. I don't want to say he has an old soul, but he has an old man's level of maturity with a youthful exuberance that is such a unique combination. That's why I'm telling you, he could have asked for whatever amount of money he wanted and they would have given it to him. I honestly believe that. But he took a contract and had it structured in such a way so he can chase this kind of dynasty that you're talking about. And I would not bet against him because he is putting in the work. I'm telling you this, he is working as hard as you have ever seen him work. And this football team now is motivated to kind of make it so, you know what? It was justified doing what they did as far as giving him the kind of financial security that they've given him. How unique is that? Where everyone sees a guy get as rich as Pat Mahomes has gotten, and they still say, he should have gotten more, and we want to see him kind of like see it all come to fruition as far as the amount of success that he wants. It's so unique, yep. And that's why I think he's the one in that group right there that could really go ahead and really attain greatness, not just chase it, but really attain it.
There's a vote for Mahomes. Dan Orlovsky.
Yeah, Patrick Mahomes, Greeny. Now, emotionally, when I voted at your poll, I emotionally voted for Tiger because he's my favorite athlete of all time. But I think if someone's going to do it, it's Patrick Mahomes. All right, first of all, he's the best quarterback we've ever seen this early. Right? We've all reeled off of, they score 33 points a game when he starts. They haven't lost a game by more than a possession. He's number one in every statistical category. So we know how great of a player he is, right? So that's going to help Dynasty. Andy Reid is probably one of the best coaches we've seen in the NFL when it comes to an offensive understanding of the game. But let's look at the people around him, because this is why I truly think the Chiefs are going to become a dynasty and get in the conversation for the 6 Super Bowls. We talk about the talent. Travis Kelce, 3rd-round pick. That's not a first-round pick. That was a top-5 selection. And then we go to their leading rusher, Damian Williams, last year. Undrafted player. Tyreek Hill, 4th-round pick. Mecole Hardman, 3rd-round pick. This team drafts well. I would argue that to find a whiff of a draft pick, or an early draft pick that they just totally whiff on, which happens a lot in the NFL, you got to go back to like 2011. Yep. First rounder Jonathan Baldwin out of Pitt just didn't pan out. Other than that, they hit on a lot of guys. So you've got the best player in football, you got a darn good head coach, and you draft really well. Like, that's the making of a dynasty.
Marcus, so they both disagree with you.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
I mean, gee, listen. It's Tiger Woods. Like, all of these things they just talked about, all of these dynamics change. $5 or $10 million more if somebody offers it for a player that Patrick Mahomes needs to have success. All of these things that transpire. And I still come back to, how in the hell can we sit here and talk about 6 Super Bowls like it's running around the corner? I know Patrick Mahomes is great. Would love to see him win 6 Super Bowls. But let's remember, Brady went to 9
the greatest quarterback
to get
ever.
6 of them. And we need 3 more majors for Tiger to catch up with the Golden Bear. Get the hell out of here, man.
You said, Marcus. That's Marcus, the you said, like,
last year
like
you called him the best quarterback ever.
Around the corner.
You're right.
The beauty of these polls,
we are kind of disrespecting what it takes to win Super Bowl. And I've never been near one. So, but yeah, you're right, man. But he's still going to get it. It's not Tiger.
All right, we will see. Mina, I want you guys to see one thing that happened yesterday. Did you see this? This is Tyreek Hill. He's hosting a youth football game in Texas, and he got mossed by one of the campers. That's a camper. Ugh. And that's and look at how he just kind of walks away like nothing kind of happened. You can tell he's thinking, I really hope that wasn't on camera, right? Is that the reaction you have if that happens?
Oh, yeah.
He was like,
oh, yeah.
This ain't supposed to happen to me.
All right.
Look, Tyreek was Greeny, thinking, I'm about to go viral.
All right, we will take a short break as we continue on Get Up. The Dak dilemma in Dallas. Dan will show you exactly why he thinks the Cowboys should be hesitant to give their quarterback big bucks. That is on the way. And then a reminder, coming up at 9 a.m. Eastern here on ESPN, it's the MLS's back tournament, continuing Chicago facing Seattle. They're coming your way top of the hour here on ESPN. And we have a little sneaky hembo time, and this one is for Swagoo. Dak Prescott lost 6 one-possession games last year. Who was the only quarterback to lose more? That's the question. The answer's next on Get Up. All right, Swagoo, this is a sneaky one from Sneaky Hembo as we continue on Get Up. We're going to talk about Dak Prescott in a moment. He lost 6 one-possession games last year. Marcus, who was the only quarterback to lose more?
I'm going to go with Jameis Winston.
That's not bad. Actually, it is bad. He wasn't even close. Philip Rivers is the correct answer with 9. And then there were a bunch of other guys who were close. Andy Dalton lost 6. Jacoby Brissett, Carson Wentz, Josh Allen, and Kyler Murray. So he wasn't even particularly close to being Jameis Winston. But I appreciate the effort one way or the other. Chalk one up for Sneaky Hembo. Meanwhile, let's talk about Dak. And let's bring Lewis. And look how much Lewis is enjoying the fact that Marcus got that wrong. I like
that's
it.
Good.
Anyway.
No. Marcus's reactions, man, you know, they're priceless, man. You can make a whole reel out of Marcus's reactions.
Yes, he has it's a gift that he has the most expressive face of any person I've ever seen. And meanwhile, Dan Orlovsky, let me come to you. I've been waiting all morning for this tape. We've talked a lot about Dak Prescott. And again, they're in the countdown now to either getting a deal done or not. And you have brought up many times his struggles against really good defenses. So let's stop talking about it and let's start looking at it.
Yeah, Greeny, so many people have talked about last year being the best year of his career, and there's some hollow stats there. I want to see Dak play well against playoff football teams, against defenses in situations where they need him to play his absolute best, because he didn't do that last year, and I think that's the crux of this contract negotiation between him and the Cowboys, Greeny. If you look at this play against the Green Bay Packers, 14-0 right now. They're on a drive. It's a little play action pass. It's first down. This is an easy read for the quarterback. We need you to protect the football and value the football here. You cannot turn the ball over. He doesn't see the underneath defender, and it's an interception. We're down 14. You cannot turn the football over at home against a good team like the Green Bay Packers. I need you to play your best football when I need it. This is the last drive against the New England Patriots, 3rd and 11. You've got a slant backside. Or a second window that slant. You get a little pressure, and now it's a throwaway. We're in an impossible 4th and 11 situation against the Bears on the road. It's 23-6. See that linebacker play over the top on that tailback and get the ball to the shallow cross that's going to pop wide open. We're down 23-6. If you get this completion on third down, it may score. Then it becomes 13, and we've got a chance to get ourselves back in the football game. Now listen, those are 3 plays, and people might sit there and go, well, those are cherry-picked plays. But when I'm talking about the context of playing against playoff football teams late in the games or in critical situations, yes, every play matters. And when I pay you the most money at the position in the NFL, I need you to be your best when your best is demanded. And those plays kind of show to the point that the Cowboys didn't get that out of Dak Prescott last year. He was not great when they needed him to be great.
And this year it would seem, Marcus, again, the former Cowboy, and you made your home there in Dallas, so you were around this and listening to the daily conversation. People pointed fingers in a lot of different directions last year, particularly at the head coach. This year, one way or another, those fingers are going to be pointed at Dak, and it'll either work out or it won't. Yes, does that seem like a reasonable way to assess what's going to happen?
Yeah, that's reasonable, and rightfully so. Listen, we all talked about Jason Garrett and the inept of this offense and the decision-making that he had. I mean, they kicked field goals against New England when they probably should have went for a third down. We talked about the relationship with him and Kellen Moore. It was his first year under Kellen Moore. And to Dan's point, even though he threw for 4,900 yards, you could still say it was a lot of fluff yards in there. You talk about padding stats. It would be similar to a guy going to the free throw line at the end of the game and ending up with 35 instead of 26, and it changes the whole dynamic of what his stat line looks like. With that being said, what Dak Prescott has done does warrant him a contract. And it does warrant him being in the conversation for one of the top 10 quarterbacks, if not top 8 in the NFL. And we, like Dan said, you could cherry pick plays on either side. I can show you plays where Dak Prescott looks like a phenomenal quarterback, as good as any others, and you just want more so of those than you want more of the ones that Dan showed. But you have to prove it in those moments. Now, I will say, we can look around the league and see guys that have gotten paid, and we can pull way worse plays than that.
Oh, yeah.
And that is the point with Dak Prescott, especially when the Dallas Cowboys said that he was the guy going forward and moving into the future. And, gee, I keep saying that because that ain't nothing we said. Lou didn't say it. Dan didn't say it. You didn't say it, G, and I didn't say it. The Cowboys said that Dak Prescott was their future in the franchise and he was going to be their quarterback long term. So it ain't nothing that we pulling from or trying to create a narrative or a scenario where Dak Prescott is getting overly loved by the Dallas Cowboys. This is what they said.
Right. And they seems like they want to have their cake and eat it, too. They want him to be their guy long term, but they want it at their price. And the reality, Lewis, is that's not the way quarterback contracts tend to go. The next guy in line tends to get the next huge deal, whether we think he's really the second best quarterback or the ninth best quarterback. So if you're the decision maker there, how are you handling that?
Look, I'm handling it probably in very similar fashion to what Dallas is handling it right now. Look, a lot of this is subjective when you're talking about quarterback salaries in this realm, when you're talking about, you know, the numbers approaching what they're approaching here on an average per year basis and a guaranteed basis. When you get to this level, obviously Dallas has the benefit of information that many of us do not have. And when you look at some of these plays that Dan just picked out, Dallas is doing the same thing in their own film room. And their scouts and Will McClay, the guy who heads up their personnel department, is having a meeting with Jerry Jones when Jerry is sitting here going, look, do I really need to move off of this number? Really explain to me exactly what it is that we have here and what do we think this is going to look like in the future as far as his play. Is he still going to get better? Do I need to go ahead and move off of this number because Dak is going to improve on some of these situations that he hasn't mastered yet to this point? All of this stuff is being talked about, and this helps you arrive at what you feel is a fair contract. And then you don't have to subscribe to the theory that, look, just because he's the next guy up means I have to blow the top off of the market. I don't believe that. And I think that we've become a little bit of a victim of that in the NFL, and we expect that. And Dallas is sitting here saying, we're not doing that. And it's not like they're offering him a minimum contract, okay? They're paying him a lot of money. He's going to be in the upper echelon in terms of salary. And there's an argument out there that says maybe he shouldn't be. Maybe he shouldn't be getting that kind of money based on how he has performed in certain situations, which is what makes it all the more fascinating.
So we have a little less than 32 hours to figure out how this thing is going to play out. We'll keep you posted. Meanwhile, coming up, Madden 21's top 10 quarterbacks are revealed. One star is not thrilled with his rating. You'll hear who and why he's absolutely right as we continue in just a moment. Then another reminder coming up 9 Eastern here on ESPN. It's MLS in the morning. The Seattle Sounders, the Chicago Fire, top of the hour, right here, ESPN. What does Swagoo say?
G, you know what I say? I say Daniel Jones is a gangster. He lying, G. Look at me today, G. I'm already a beast, so we just gonna be beastie. I call you bro.
Yes.
You are my bro. Are you crying, son?
This is not exactly how I meant for this to go.
Take that and smoke it.
I can't watch that thing enough times. Here is where you will hear from different people around the world of sports, and Swagoo will tell you what they really meant. Starts with Cam Newton. Motivated for his fresh start in New England. Here he was after a workout on Saturday night.
You know what makes this different? Is they ain't never seen this camp. They ain't never seen him. You want to know how I know? They ain't never seen him. The forgotten Cam, though. The shit on Cam, though. Tired of being sick of tired Cam. Felt like I was just left to die.
That is what Cam said. What does Swaggoo say?
They got a famous line in training day when Denzel say, I'm putting the price on all you fellas. And that's what Cam's saying. I done heard it all. I done listened to it all. Now it's time for me to go Superman. I'm finna go crazy. I'm about to go really, really dumb in this New England Patriots system. That's what Cam saying, G. I'm finna go crazy.
I love that you made a movie reference because it looked like a scene from a movie, didn't it? It looked like it was exactly that moment in the movie where the hero says, I'm going to turn this thing around, and then he does. All right, let's go to the next one. Patrick Mahomes was on SportsCenter, and he was openly talking about chasing Tom Brady's rings. Listen to this.
I don't know if there's a number. I mean, obviously, you try to chase greatness, and Tom's got six. So I'm going to try to do whatever I can to at least get to that number. I understand how hard that is, how really, I mean, it was a one-of-a-kind thing for Tom to be able to get to 9 Super Bowls and win 6 of them. And so I'm just going to go about the process every single day of trying to make myself better and do whatever I can to make the Kansas City Chiefs better.
That's what Mahomes says. What does Swaggoo say?
Man, I'm Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to get six. I'm about that life. That's what I'm about. I'm about going to get more Super Bowls than Tom Brady because all y'all done said I'm way better than him. I know I'm way better than him, and I'm going to keep proving it over and over again until I get six and then seven to try to give y'all what y'all want, and that's me to talk about me being the best quarterback to ever play the game as if y'all ain't already, Lou Riddick.
You know what? I agree with you. He manages to be both cocky and humble in the same conversation, which is a remarkable ability. And I love the fact that he's not hiding from it.
Only you get that.
Yeah.
Only you get that, G. Me and you, same pages.
I love that he said it. That's exactly what you want him to say. All right, one more. And this one is from the reigning NFL MVP. Lamar Jackson was a guest on SportsCenter yesterday. He was asked what accomplishment he's most proud of. This was his answer.
I'm grateful for the MVP, you know, we won that. I feel like I haven't done anything yet. You know, it's always room for improvement, and I just want to keep going. Still humble about every situation, you know, that comes in front of me. But like I said, I want to win the Super Bowl, and until then, I really don't care what's going on right now.
Yeah, so that's what Lamar Jackson says. What does Swaggoo say?
Man, y'all know I don't care. The reason I don't care is because I got to sit here every day and watch Get Up and all of these shows on ESPN talk about how great Patrick Mahomes is. And the only thing he got that I ain't got is a Super Bowl and a Super Bowl MVP. So I ain't done nothing because I'm Lamar Jackson. I'm expected to be the best. That's what I bet it on. I bet it on myself. I hired my mama to be my agent and my manager. I'm doing this thing my own way. And until I win a Super Bowl, y'all ain't going to give me the credit y'all giving that dude in Kansas City. Y'all ain't got no love for Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens. That's okay. I'm going to show you. Y'all keep talking about Patrick Mahomes. I'm going to go make it happen. And the Super Bowl is the only way I can make it happen.
I love that one too, Marcus. And think about it. This is a guy who 2 years ago people were saying shouldn't even play quarterback in the NFL. And his first full season as a starter, he's a unanimous MVP, and he's still talking about not having accomplished anything. I love the way he's approaching that. Let's see where it goes. All right, Swaggoo says, outstanding. Let's talk more about quarterbacks. Madden quarterback rankings were released. Tom Brady is the fifth highest rated with a score of 90. He's had a rating of 90 or higher each of the last 18 years. Drew Brees checks in next. He is fourth with a rating of 93. He's the most accurate passer in NFL history. He led the league in completion percentage last year, nearly broke his own single season record. The aforementioned Lamar Jackson, the reigning MVP, comes in at number three. His rating is 94. Last season, he became the first player ever with 3,000 passing yards and 1,000 rushing yards in the same season. So Madden has him ranked third. Russell Wilson is second. His ranking is 97. His total QBR of 69.8 last season, fifth in the league, was the second best of his career. And so he is number two, and you don't need me to tell you who's number one, Patrick Mahomes. We announced it yesterday. He has a 99 rating. He joins Brady, Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and Peyton Manning as the only quarterback to ever receive a Madden 99 rating. And then as you look at the rest of them, the one that got a lot of attention yesterday on Twitter and elsewhere, and certainly for me, is Deshaun Watson with a rating of 86, all the way down there. And if you don't think he was paying attention, you're wrong. He responded to this as well. Let me show you what he put up on Twitter. This is from Deshaun, who tweeted, as you see there, like the laughing and the crying and the face plant. And he knows that there's something ridiculous about the fact that he is rated where he is. So there's a lot to talk about with Deshaun Watson. And I want to start with Adam Schefter, because he is in the same year, if you will, relative to his contract that Patrick Mahomes is. And Mahomes is a 10-year extension. Where are we with Watson as far as some sort of contract extension with Houston?
Greeny, there have been conversations, but I don't expect Deshaun Watson to sign a 10-year deal anytime soon, if ever at all. Now, he'd like to get a deal worked out. They continue to have discussions. And at some point, I think the Houston Texans absolutely will reward Deshaun Jackson with a lucrative deal. And now that Mahomes has gone first, frankly, the bar has been set. I think Watson will try to meet or even surpass the deal that Mahomes got and present it in a different way. It'll be a completely different type of deal because Watson's not going to do a 10-year deal. It'll be a shorter deal. And again, those two sides have been talking. They continue to talk. And at some point, Houston's going to reward Deshaun Watson because it has to reward Deshaun Watson because he's one of the best young talents in the game. But no deal just yet.
Okay, so let me bring the rest of the crew back in on the conversation at that point, because when I saw that yesterday and I saw Deshaun's tweet, and I recognize that I sort of bang this drum all the time up here, but it is my belief, and yesterday is just further proof, I think Deshaun Watson might be the most underappreciated, brilliant player in sports today. I think he gets less credit for what he does than almost any other player in not only in football, but in any sport today. So Dan, as my quarterback guru, I ask you, do you believe Deshaun Watson is underrated?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, if Deshaun Watson was drafted to the Kansas City Chiefs like Patrick Mahomes was, and don't take this lightly, we would be talking about Deshaun Watson in the same type of breath that we talk about Patrick Mahomes. And everybody knows how much I love Patrick Mahomes and how great I think he is. Deshaun Watson is that good. He would be in the same conversation. I would say this, Greeny, there's probably only two quarterbacks, just talent-wise in the NFL, that I would take easily over Deshaun. And that's Patrick Mahomes and Russell Wilson. Deshaun Watson, just as a player individually, would be the third quarterback that I would take. He's that remarkable. Just go back to last year's playoff game. Go watch that play he makes against the Buffalo Bills at the end of the game when he gets that sandwich off those two guys on the edge and basically is down and somehow gets the ball out to win the football. I mean, he's a absolutely remarkable talent. He can beat you three ways. He can beat you with his arm, he can beat you with his legs, and then he can beat you with his brains. There's not a lot of guys in the NFL that... If Deshaun Watson was in Kansas City, we'd be talking about him in the same breath that we talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Yes, I agree with that, Lewis. I've made that point before. And whether he is actually as good as Mahomes, who we all agree might be the most talented player ever, here's what I will say. They'd win just as much. I don't know if it would look exactly the same, but I believe that if Deshaun Watson was there, I don't think there would be any drop-off in their winning. That's the way I view it, Lewis. As you watch Deshaun Watson, what do you see?
Yeah, and I agree with you. I agree with you in the sense that there wouldn't be any drop in their winning, and that's because of the differentiator here, and that is the coaching staff, the surroundings. Because what you see, look, Andy would morph. He would change the kind of things that he asked Deshaun to do or that he allows Deshaun to do based upon what he does best. And see, that is really what takes quarterbacks from being good to great to icons, to becoming icon, to really achieving icon status. It's about your surroundings, and you can't control that. You can't control that as the quarterback. You can only do what you can do in the realm of controlling your own performance. And that's what Deshaun is a victim of right now. He has everything at his disposal from a personal character trait, you know, perspective. He has size, he has speed, he has arm strength, he has cognitive ability, he has football smarts, he has football character on and off the field, he has all that stuff. What he doesn't have is the same kind of surroundings that Pat has. And that's why Pat right now just posted a picture of him on Instagram on the cover of GQ magazine. Okay, that's why Pat is achieving icon status, is because of his surroundings. And Deshaun hasn't benefited from that to this point. But if he was in that kind of situation, there's no question, Greeny, They would morph the offense to what he does best, and he would be the one who is on the cover of GQ, and he's the one who would be getting a 99 rating, and he's the one who we would be talking about the way we talk about Pat. I do believe that. I agree with you.
The Madden rating is incomprehensible to me. Go ahead, Marcus.
Yeah.
Gee, that's why I love both of these guys. They damn good at their job. Dan say some crazy stuff sometimes, but I love him like a brother, and Lou is always on point. And always giving us the real from the front office perspective. That's the bottom line. Like when Deshaun Watson got that damn 86 rating on that Madden game, put Bill O'Brien's face next to him because Deshaun probably had 92 and there's some negativity coming from Bill O'Brien's face. They just traded away one of the top three receivers in the NFL to take him away from a franchise quarterback. They also made a move to get David Johnson there to pay him more money. And look at the opposite. Look what Arizona just did for Kyler Murray as opposed to what the Texans just did for Deshaun Watson. They need to put Bill O'Brien damn face up there if they're going to rate the man 86. Because Deshaun Watson a 94, 95 in my book.
I completely agree. Okay, we have a unanimous decision on Deshaun Watson. I couldn't be more delighted. Meanwhile, there's some other numbers I want to show you guys. And Lewis, as our evaluator, I'd like you to break them down. These were the highest Madden ratings for our stars today. Marcus had an 83 rating in 2007. Dan Orlovsky a 73 rating in 07, 08, and 09. Okay. Lewis, in your assessment, do those seem about right?
Yeah, you know what? See, I remember Big Marcus. I remember scouting Big Marcus. So I know what Marcus's pluses and minuses were down there at the Cowboys. You know what I mean? But you know what? You know what? Forget the ratings part. The fact of the matter is this. You can get one of those old game consoles and play yourself on a game. That's pretty cool. But I will say this. Way back in the day when I was on the Madden game, my nephews used to run in the room after playing with me on the game, and they used to tell me all the time, "Hey, Unc, you're slow, man. You're terrible. We can't use you." I'd be like, I used to just look at him like, "That's why I'm going to send you back home to your mother."
All right, I got to take a break here. A reminder, First Take comes up at a special time this morning, 11 a.m. Eastern. Max and Stephen A. debating the Dak situation. Which side looks worse, the player or the team? It's First Take at 11 Eastern on ESPN, and they're on at a special time because MLS action follows us, Seattle and Chicago, top of the hour right here on ESPN. Get Up is brought to you by Miralax. It works with the water in your body to unblock your system naturally. And very quickly before we run, my poll question today. You see it, Christian McCaffrey ran away with it. The best chance to win the MVP if it's not a quarterback this year. I'll tell you again, no NFL MVP has ever come from a losing team. We'll see if the Panthers have a better year than expected. And we'll see you tomorrow. MLS action starts right now.